soul to soul, spirit to spirit. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. This message comes to you as a gift through my being to you. Today we are going to discuss some very difficult subjects. Difficult in that the human being does not like to consider such things. The natural man does not like at all to dwell upon the principles of its own elimination, of its own dissolving. So we're going to have to face some tough things today. And if you're uncomfortable or you disagree and you need to turn this message off, that's fine. It's just simply not for you. But for those of you who persist and hear it to the end, we are going to discuss and hopefully reveal the spiritual principles which will lift you out of the need to experience death. We are told the last enemy to be overcome is death. And today you will know how to overcome death. So let us begin with a topic that seems to be very much in everyone's attention, in everyone's consciousness lately. Now, I received an email late last night, telling me that because of the state of the world today, this person no longer felt safe flying in an airplane, and therefore they were canceling a trip scheduled for next month, and they would no longer travel by air. This interested me because, of course, as most of you know, I just got back from flying out to Colorado and California and back again. And so I considered what they said. Of course, I had accidentally seen the news about Friday's little drama about the plane that took off in the Netherlands and landed in Detroit, and on the way, as they were about to land, a terrorist was foiled in his attempts to blow up the plane. Instead of setting fire to the plane, he was tackled by a hero who got him in a headlock and he managed to only set his legs on fire. And so we had the drama of the plane and the passengers and the panic and the fear and the hero and the villain or terrorist. We had all the roles. And so I considered this also. And I'm going to tell you something that you may not at first see how it fits in with overcoming death, but you will later. And I'm going to tell you something that may be uncomfortable. But we have to face these things if we would enter the kingdom here and now. And that is, the terrorist and the hero are one. Yes, it's true. Both are made of the same fabric. And the fabric is universal hypnotism. In the kingdom of heaven, here and now, in our midst, there never was a hero. There never was a terrorist. This is a series of universal beliefs parading in front of our eyes, in front of our consciousness, with the intent of hypnotizing us into the drama. And if you supported the hero, or if you supported the terrorist, if you were against the terrorist, or feared the terrorist, or if you were against the hero because perhaps he used a little too much force, or perhaps he was just showing off, whatever your viewpoint, if the drama pulled you in, like this person that was convinced they could no longer fly and wrote me an email, then you are hypnotized. And the result is you are going to have to die again. You may say, well, what do you base this on? How can you say such things? Why, the hero is very patriotic. Look at all the lives he saved. And the terrorist is, if he's not evil, he's definitely misperceived. He's definitely, well, he's definitely hypnotized himself into believing that what he's doing is good. If you were pulled into that drama Friday or yesterday, or today you're still in it, you have just signed your own death warrant. Or as Joel says in Realization of Oneness, it's just a matter of time then, what date will be placed on your tombstone. So, what do I base such daring statements on? I base it on the truth. The truth that has been revealed within. And that truth, and the truth is that this is a spiritual universe. You are standing in the midst of a spiritual universe, but if you are seeing these dramas, good or bad, you are not in that spiritual universe. You are living your life in a human world, in the human scene, and that human will die. I am assuming those of you hearing this talk have decided that you want eternal life, that you want off this wheel of the cycle of incarnation after incarnation. All of the drama, good and evil. Now, I say good and evil because, and this is another one of those topics that's going to be difficult to, well, bitter in the belly, right? Sweet in the mouth, but bitter in the belly. Yes, we love to talk about eternal life, but the method of dying to this world, well, we don't want to look at that too much. And so, it's both the evil and the good. If you believe there was a hero and you were cheering him on, or you felt good about, aha, I guess we just aren't going to take it anymore. You go. You go, dude, you go. Well, if those were your feelings, well, you were hypnotized. If your feelings were, how could this terrorist do this? How could he carry a bomb aboard? How could he ignite himself to try to blow up the plane? What could convince him to do that? All those evil people that twisted his mind. Well, you are hypnotized. If you accept either one on either side, you are hypnotized into seeing this world where the spiritual kingdom exists. And it's okay, it's not your fault. It's a universal hypnotism, which attempts to hypnotize everyone. Everyone looking, billions and billions of people, it attempts to hypnotize. What I am saying and suggesting to you this morning is, if you want to avoid death, if you want to overcome death, the last enemy, the only way you can do that is to overcome this world, because the two go hand in hand. If you accept good anywhere, if you accept evil anywhere, then you are not seeing the spiritual, invisible, real. That is why we are told in the writings that if you see a beautiful mountain range or a beautiful sunset over the ocean, if you see a sweet little innocent grandchild, so cute, little dimples, innocent eyes, beautiful, you have just been hypnotized. That is not reality. It's a temporary form of good. And if you're honest, you know that that temporary form of good will evolve into an evil. It will change before your eyes. All you have to do is continue to look at it. The years go by, and before you know it, it's a defiant adolescent. Or, if that's not the case, it's a grown-up having difficulties with personal relationships and perhaps going through one relationship after the other. Or, if that's not the case, let's say it lives in its entire life nothing but good. You will see it deteriorate, age, decay, and then die. Therefore, that is not the spiritual, immortal, eternal creation. It's not the kingdom of heaven here and now. It's not the spiritual creation of the Father. It is hypnotism. Universal hypnotism. Making you see a sweet little young child, and then a doddering old infirm Parkinson's senior citizen. Alzheimer's or senility. You can't hang on to one side the illusion and let go of the other. That is why I say it has to be the good and the bad pictures, which is what he says in the New Horizon in the book The Infinite Way, which he tells us we must study deeply for at least a couple of years. Now, there's only 5 pages to that chapter, and yet he says the entire Infinite Way teaching, spiritual living and spiritual healing, is based on that chapter. And so when it says to us, the sense which presents pictures of discord and inharmony, disease and death, is the universal mesmerism which produces the entire dream of human existence, he means the entire human existence is a dream. When he says it must be understood that there is no more reality to harmonious human existence than to discordant world conditions, he means it. Both sides must go. If they do not go, you will die. It's just a matter of what date is on your tombstone. Furthermore, he says it must be realized that the entire human scene is mesmeric suggestion or hypnotism, and we must rise above even good human conditions. Understand fully, completely, my friends, with the totality of your being, that hypnotism is the fabric, the substance of the entire mortal universe, and human conditions of both good and evil are dreams, dream pictures. They have no reality or permanence. And you, if you would overcome death, he says, be willing for the harmonious as well as the inharmonious conditions of mortal existence to disappear from your experience in order that reality may be known by you and enjoyed by you and lived in by you. And so you see, that's only not even the complete first page of that paragraph. You see both sides. The hero and the terrorist are made of the same fabric. And the fabric is universal hypnotism, universal illusion, Maya. If you are lulled into, pulled into fascination with either or all of it, you are going to die. Because that which is pulled in to the drama, that which is mesmerized by the characters involved, that of you which is drawn into that drama, that hypnotism, is itself a universal belief. It's universal hypnotism reacting to universal hypnotism, a grand play. And if you're the one through whom it's acting and reacting, that is the self that dies. And if you're living in it and as it you will die. The only way to overcome death is to awaken out of the dream. The dream of a mortal existence inside a material universe. The dream of heroes and terrorists. The dream that would so pull you into it that you would say, I can no longer fly on a plane. It's just not safe. That sort of belief will so limit us that we'll be back to horse and buggy travel. And maybe that won't even be safe, and we'll just be walking. All right. So, if you are pulled in, I repeat it again, it's important for you to know it. Let's start this way. You have an infinite, invisible, spiritual self. You are either living in that self and bearing witness to that self living through you, or you are living as a limited, universal belief as hypnotism itself, appearing as a human life. And you are lulled into or pulled into the drama. Oh, the drama of this world and all of the characters, the hero, the terrorist, the frightened passengers, or the relief and the joy when they were all set free without any harm. If you are pulled into that drama, you are world hypnotism living where you stand. And that self, which was born, must die. And so we don't want to look at our grandchildren and say, oh, wait, they're not there. That is a misinterpretation of spiritual being. Oh, no, we don't want to do that. No. But don't you see, if you open the door to a personal sense of self where your grandchild appears to be, where your spouse appears to be, then you've opened the door to a personal sense of self where you are. And that personal sense of self will die. Don't you see that it's only a matter of time, like Joel says, what date will be put on that personal sense of self's tombstone? But surely you must sometimes ponder to yourself, what would happen if I step out of that sense of life? What would happen if I awakened to an invisible identity and lived in it? Above the sense life, as Joel tells us. Let's see what he says, his exact words, because they're much better than mine, because this came to him as an impartation. Above this sense life, there is a universe of spirit, a spiritual universe, a spiritual creation, governed by love, peopled with children of God, living in the household or temple of truth. This world, this universe is real and permanent. Its substance is eternal consciousness. In it there is no awareness of the discords or the good of human existence. You see that? That's the world and the identity that you have to step into before you leave here. And so if you ponder like I do, you ask yourself, what would happen if I step into that invisible spiritual self, lived in it, and it in me, or I in me? What would happen if I lived in it. And awakened out of a sense of universe in which beings are born and die, in which there are heroes and terrorists, in which there is health and sickness, in which there is poverty and abundance, in which there is harmonious human relationships and people at war with their ideals that makes them go into airplanes and blow them up, or makes them march in to conquer the enemy and overthrow their leadership, make war. And furthermore, how do I awaken out of that personal sense of self, personal sense of universe, into the spiritual kingdom here and now? How do I do that? Let's say that you're willing, that you're of the very, very, very few who are no longer trying to make a human sense of existence harmonious, who are no longer trying to demonstrate harmony of purse or harmony of body. Did you know that harmony of form is not demonstration? It's not. If you sit down and you have a meditation and your income is increased, you have not demonstrated the Christ. If you sit down and your health improves, you have not demonstrated the Christ. If you sit down and your relationship is smoothed over with someone, you've not demonstrated the Christ. No. No, that's not demonstration. Awakening to the invisible self is the only demonstration. When you have the actual living experience in your inner being of this invisible transcendental self, then you've made the demonstration of Christ. And it appears as harmony of being, harmony of purse, harmony of life, harmony of relationships. But you're not fooled. Oh, no, no. No, if you've really learned how to live in this spiritual creation, you're not fooled by how it appears. You're not lulled into the drama of, oh, wow, I have now $10,000 more a year. You're not lulled into the drama. Oh, look, my ill health has disappeared. I'm okay now. I can dance again. I can walk again. I can hike again. That is still the drama of universal belief. No, you stay up here, says Joel, in the conscious awareness of the living spiritual identity. That's your demonstration. So, back again we go. Let us say that we are willing, we are of the very, very few who are willing at last to leave mother, father, brother, sister, to leave this world. Let us say, like Joel says in that chapter, we're willing to see through the evil and the good. Let us say we are willing for the harmonious as well as the inharmonious conditions to disappear. Well, then what do we do? How do we awaken to the invisible real? How do we come up over the sense world to enter the temple not made with hands, which is eternal, made out of the substance of spiritual consciousness? Well, if you are willing, If you have reached the stage where you no longer wish to demonstrate good in a material universe that's going to die, that you no longer wish to demonstrate a harmonious human existence that's going to have a date with the tombstone, a date on a tombstone, then you must practice meditation, which is our way of awakening to that spiritual universe in our midst. We were told by the Christ, not a man, but by the Christ of your being, the Christ of my being, we were told by the Christ within us, abide in me, and I in you. And so, we ponder, and I ponder, what would happen if I abided in that invisible spiritual self, and that self abided where I am? Would that then be the end of death? And the answer is yes. Yes. Whosoever abideth in me shall have everlasting life. So our work then becomes, first in meditation, finding a way to be released from a material sense of existence into resting, abiding in the spiritual self. And then, as we practice that more and more, it carries over into our everyday walking, waking experience with our eyes open. Until at last we are abiding in I, and I is abiding in us. Until at last we are living a life completely above the sense perception in the invisible spiritual kingdom in our midst. No one knows we are living in an invisible kingdom except us. But when we live and move and have our being in the reality, we have stepped out of the wheel of birth and death. For us there will be no death ever again. So the question becomes, how do we experience that inner release from a material sense of self? Because that's all, that is the real goal of the infinite way, is to release you from a material sense, a personal sense of existence, and to set you free in Christ, the invisible spiritual flesh. And so we practice it at first in our meditation until it takes over and begins living us. And the two pages in The Art of Spiritual Healing describe this better than anywhere else. Well, other than the 1955 Kailua Study Series. If you read chapter 12 and chapter 23, Experience the Christ and Experiencing the Christ, that also tells you how to experience this release. You see, our meditation is not to heal anything. We thought it was in the beginning. We thought our meditation was for the purpose of improving our human experience. And in many cases, it did result in improving our human experience. But for those of us who have been practicing for many years, it's now time to go into meditation for the real purpose, and that is to be released in that meditation from the mortal sense of existence which dies, and to be released into the spiritual sense of existence which is eternal. And even if we only dwell in it for 4 or 5 minutes, we have found the real secret of the infinite way, how to overcome death. And the more we dwell in it, the more it dwells in us, until eventually the human sense of existence is all but dissolved, and we are standing in the invisible spiritual flesh. And when our work is finished, we simply step across. There's no more death. Now, here's the way he phrases it here, but do not be misled into thinking that we're talking about healing somebody, because again, that's only for beginners. We are now talking about being released from mortal sense. And so he says, in spiritual healing, whether the claim is Jones, Brown, Smith, and we might add whether the claim is cancer, tuberculosis, or perfect human health, a great athlete, a beautiful grandchild, a wonderful sunset, a hero on a plane, an evil terrorist. Leave them alone. Get back to the substanceless fabric to which you can give any name you like. Doesn't matter what you call it as you sit down to meditation, so long as you recognize, I'm not going to be pulled into the drama, nor the joy of this world. It is hypnotism, suggestion, mesmerism, illusion, universal hypnotism or beliefs, a series of universal beliefs, mental images, nothingness. The invisible spirit is not in it, so it has no life, no law, no cause. When you really begin to comprehend, you are not dealing with people. You remember Joel in 1964 in his Hawaii Hotel talks? One of the last talks he ever made. It's not easy to stop seeing human beings, but I finally made it. That wasn't just a silly little phrase. He was giving you the secret to awakening. He was giving you the secret to overcoming death, stepping out of the cycle of birth and death. He was giving you the key to eternal life. And so he says here, when you really begin to comprehend, you are not dealing with people as people. And when you learn to eliminate them and the specific claims they have from your thought, and in every instance deal with the root of the problem, hypnotism, suggestion, nothingness, then you will find how quickly in your meditation you are able to become still, and then become consciously aware of a spiritual presence within you, of invisible spiritual flesh, spiritual identity, spiritual kingdom, spiritual creation. When you are able to lump all of it together, the good and the bad, it's all the fabric of universal hypnotism, drawing my attention into the drama of good, oh, it's beautiful, or of bad, oh, it's evil. When you finally comprehend that's all it is, there's nothing to fix, nothing to work on. You don't have to work that hard. Then you are able to sit still, stand still and see, become aware of a spiritual presence within you. The minute you have made the carnal mind a nothingness, you no longer have two powers, says Joel. And now you can do just what it says in Scripture. You can rest in the Word. You can rest in this Word and wait for the Spirit of the Lord to be upon you. And when it comes, it breaks the hypnotism. When it comes, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, spiritual self appearing, when it comes, it releases you from mortal sense. And you experience, yes, the spiritual presence, which is the reality of all being. He says, for years after I had learned to recognize that all forms of sin, disease, lack, limitation, depression, and, as he says in the Infinite Way, all forms of good health, youth, abundance, abundant times in the economy, beautiful trees and sunsets and clouds. For years after I have learned to recognize all forms our mesmeric sense or hypnotism, the puzzle was to discover how to break the hypnotism. That's where we started this. How do you, assuming you're willing to let go of both sides of the illusion and come into a spiritual sense of existence, how do you awaken before you leave here so that you no longer have to die? So that you can live in your eternal spiritual identity right here and now. It was then that I discovered, says Joel, that scriptural passage, which you will find throughout all my writings. So he's going to give you a scriptural passage which gave him the clue to how to break or be released from mortal identity. His or somebody else's. It doesn't matter which part of the drama. Hear me now. It doesn't matter if you're drawn into the drama of your mortal existence or you're drawn into the drama of their mortal existence, good or bad. If you're drawn into the drama of mortal existence, you're living in mortal existence, and mortal existence is living you, and you will die. And so for years he wondered, how do I get released from that mortal existence into spiritual identity? And then he discovered this scripture. The stone was cut out of the mountain without hands. What does it mean? I suggest you meditate on it until you can live that scripture. But he does say, by the time I had spent some months puzzling on the meaning of the scripture, the answer finally became apparent. The weapon, our weapon, against error, good or bad, our offense and our defense, is something that is not physical, nor mental. Not with the mind do we get released from the mind, not from the body. It's something that's no action. No words, no thoughts, only the awareness of the presence, only the awareness of God. Which is why he says over and over and over, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, throughout the writings and throughout his talks, be a witness, be a beholder, Stand so still that you become a witness of the living presence of God. That is what releases you from mortal sins, and nothing but that. And so he says, he continues on the next page, you must carry this out in practice. Watch the stone being formed in and of your consciousness, not your mind. And you stand to the side as a witness or a beholder. Eventually, a state of peace will come to you. And then you will catch a glimpse of God as is. Not a power over anything, not fixing anything out here, just God is. Mortal sense begins to fade out in proportion as you develop this ability to behold, to witness the divine spiritual presence. You see that? Again, one more time at the bottom of the page and at the top of the next page. If, with every claim that comes to you, let's rephrase that into the words we're using today, if you would overcome death and the mortal sense of existence which is born and dies, you must set aside any thought of the person. You must go back to some word or term which to you means nothingness. Just nothingness. So that you have only one power. Then sit in your meditation and you will feel the descent of the Spirit. You will feel the peace that passes understanding. You will feel a divine presence, and that releases you from mortal existence, from a mortal sense of existence. You understand that? And he says you can consciously remind yourself when you're going to meditation, you're not going into meditation to change anything or to heal anything. You're going into meditation in order to be still, to stop fighting, stop using the mind, stop using the body, stand so still that you become a witness, a beholder, and watch, watch, until you feel the spiritual presence, the movement of spirit. Be a witness. Be so silent that you have the actual experience of invisible spiritual flesh, the I, moving through you. And that I is the only thing that lifts you above this sense life into the spiritual creation. Now, it may only be for a moment. You may have a glimpse, just a tiny glimpse. Hey, I felt it. I felt it. But that glimpse is the start of your freedom. Because as you progress and continue to dwell in this spiritual identity, or let's put it in our words that we're using today, as you continue to have many frequent periods, short but frequent, 3, 4, 5 minutes, of being released, of being so quiet, so still, that that presence is upon you and releases you from a mortal sense of existence, that is you following the Master's commandment to abide in me and I in you. And the glimpses will become your, more and more will become your living awareness, even with eyes open, until it becomes your permanent dwelling place. This world is real and permanent, says Joel. Its substance is spiritual consciousness, and it's in your midst right now. And your abiding in it and it in you is what releases you from mortal sense so that only invisible spiritual self, the living Christ, the I, is where you are. And that I can never die. That I is not drawn into any drama. That I rests one with the Father. That I is forever. That I walks in a different kingdom than this world. If you would overcome death, you must overcome a mortal sense of self, a mortal sense of universe, a mortal sense of friends, a mortal sense of family, a mortal sense of enemies, a mortal sense of neighbors, a mortal sense of supply, a mortal sense of health, a mortal sense of companionship. This you cannot make up your mind to remember. Well, I'll just remember that's not the truth. No. No. I have come. I. That's the only way you can be released. I have come to set at liberty the captives. All those that are in the graves will hear my voice and come up out of mortal existence. Mary Baker Eddy says, mortality is a myth. Paul says you must put off mortality. Joel says, be willing for all of mortal existence to fall away. And I tell you, this day, you know that you can step out of the grave of mortal existence, which will someday be buried, and into the eternal spiritual Christ identity, here and now. But you must have these periods. You must. Until it becomes your permanent state of consciousness. And then you will be that consciousness. There'll be no need to close eyes and meditate. Your constant being will be a state of meditation. Your constant awareness will be abiding in me and I in you. One infinite, invisible spiritual presence. Now, I know we've swallowed some bitter tonic today because, well, the mortal sense of existence does not want to dissolve. And it throws up everything it can to hypnotize you. My friends, don't plan on having a happy new year. Plan on making the transition from a mortal sense of existence to a new horizon, a new Jerusalem, a new self, an invisible spiritual sense of existence. Make that your goal. Never mind any New Year's resolutions. Have one goal, the goal to step out of a mortal sense of life, the goal to step into the invisible spiritual creation here and now, to abide in it, that spiritual infinite creation, and have that infinite invisible spiritual creation abiding in you, so that the two are one. That is your eternal life, which will never die. Never. Never, never, never. I am the way. And so abide in that I, and let that I abide in you in your meditation. Let it release you. As many times as you catch yourself being drawn into the drama, turn within and let that I release you back into awareness of it. Again and again and again. Let that be your only reaction, your only response to everything displayed in front of your eyes. From this point forward, make that your new resolution. That this is your only reaction, to turn away from the pictures of a mortal sense, realizing their nothingness, good or bad, to stand so still that you are a witness, a beholder, as invisible spiritual flesh, I, Christ, in your midst, reveals itself. And in the feeling of its presence, you are released from the feeling of a mortal sense of existence. And then dwell in it, and let it dwell in you, and take you into your eternal life in the Father. This is what I wish for you, all of you, each and every one. I wish this new self, this spiritual self, the Christ self, I.